Those that remain, if you'll turn in your scriptures to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 as we continue on in our study of Romans. How many times in your Christian walk, last Sunday's message was in Romans chapter 7, and we saw that Paul was struggling with that flesh and the spirit and that whole idea of not wanting to do the things that he wanted to do and doing the things that he didn't want to do, and that struggle, we can all relate that to the point where he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver?" We throw up our hands, and you know, sometimes we say, we just can't live this Christian life. Have you ever come to that place in your life or your walk? Would you struggle? Maybe a stronghold sin in your life, it's just like you feel like you just can't get over it. And we'll see that. We saw that in Paul's life in chapter 7. And we you draw comfort from that because you see that, hey, it's a Christian struggle. But he ended up, if you remember, in verse 25 of chapter 7 when he says, "I thank God through Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind I have to serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." He said it's through Jesus, it's through his spirit that we can overcome and that we can conquer those sins and that struggle in our life. Everyday followers of Christ need the Holy Spirit to be able to live out what he's called us to do. And so the title of our message today is Freedom in the Spirit. Let's honor God's Word by standing to our feet and reading Romans 8, verses 1 through 4. Romans 8, 1 through 4, the title Freedom in the Spirit. Word of God says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Father, for a few moments, may your word go forth. May it touch lives for your glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you may be seated. As we see and we continue on where Paul is writing, and he got to that struggle, and He was disgusted with his own life, with the sinfulness and hypocrisy and attempts to live a holy life. And he got to that point where he says, we need to deliver. We can't do it on our own. And what the law has shown, and we've seen that all through Romans, not just at 7, but from 1 to 7, how he's showing that anything that we're depending on to make us right with God other than Jesus Christ will fail you. Can anybody say amen to that this morning? Anything that you're depending on to make you right. There's a lot of good people in this world. I know right now it's questionable when you look at the news, but there's a lot of good people in this world that do a lot of good things that, guess what, not in the name of Jesus Christ, that are not Christians. And so I want you to know something. It's not in our goodness that makes us right with God, but it's in Christ. And we'll see Paul is really hammered on it. We'll see it come out more in chapter 8. And when we come to that end of ourselves, when we have that struggle, and the flesh and the spirit struggle, and we need that help, we'll see that when we go through that struggle, we can turn to God, we can turn to the Spirit, and it brings freedom into our life, that we can have this relationship that God has called us to have through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and through that relationship with Him. God will provide supernatural power for the supernatural life. The answer to our indwelling sin is the indwelling Christ. Hello. That's the answer to that sin, the problem that we have. And so he's going to give us guidance today and show us our responsibility and how it's related to our union in Christ. And so I want us to look at four truths of the freedom in the Spirit this morning. The first one is release from judgment. Verse 1. We all remember this scripture, right? That was our last month's memory verse, preparing us for it, where it talks about, listen what it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. When we see that word therefore, it's a word that's summing up. It's in conclusion. And his deductions is going back not just chapter 7, but as we said before, all the chapters before that. And how he said and he's shown that man has struggled to make himself right with God, but how he didn't have anything to make him right. Paul's saying he's letting us know that he thanks God in Jesus Christ because what we couldn't do, Christ did. And so I want him to, he's talking about the whole argument thus far. And listen to what he says about the blessing of salvation. You're saved this morning. I want you to hear this blessing. If you're not, you can be saved before it's over with today. Nobody should leave here lost when they have an understanding, especially of this. Listen to what he says the first blessing of salvation is: no condemnation. I want you to grasp that. No condemnation. I want you to know that this is really his thesis statement of all of chapter 8. We saw that at the end in our memory verse for this month. The whole thesis statement summed up right here in verse 1. You know what he's saying? You have security. Security in Christ. Listen, in a world that we don't have security in a lot of things, you have security in your salvation in Jesus Christ. Eternal security. And Paul's got his theology straight. He wants us to know that what we have in Christ when we're saved, he can never be lost. That struggle that goes on within him, he has this foundation to fall back on. Even though I struggle with the flesh, even though I know that these things are in my mouth, you know what he said? In Christ, I have security. I have a foundation that can never be moved. Listen, that ought to make you shout. Something that can never be taken away. One of my heroes of the faith is Jim Elliot. Lost his life on a beach in Ecuador. And he said, he is no fool that gives what he cannot gain. Or no, hold on a minute. He is no fool that gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. What a great statement. He realized, you know what, that you can give everything and still lose. He said, what does the Scripture say? What profits a man if he gains the whole world and what? Loses his soul? But in Christ, we can have it all through him, and we can have a firm foundation that is secure, that can never be moved. And so he's letting us know that this struggle, this despair that he had in chapter 7, he's finding that set firm foundation in chapter 8. He's finding that security in Christ that he can draw an anchor. Listen, you need a security this morning. You need to fill in a world that might be vacillating. Your world might be vacillating right now. Find security in this scripture this morning. That if you have Jesus Christ, you have everything. And one day, listen, when it's over, I heard Donnie make this statement about his son working at he works for a funeral home. He said, you know, 100% of people die. How's business? It's good. Why? Every one of us is going to die, okay? That ain't shocking nobody this morning, is it? I hope not. And it says it's appointed unto man what? Once to die. And then what comes after? After this is judgment. We'll all stand before Jesus Christ and give an account one day. Lost or saved. But those that are in Christ will never stand condemned before a holy God. And we'll see that in one of our points. Listen, that brings security. You don't have to work or earn love, but in Christ you have that love and you have that security. Be encouraged this morning. Don't know what you're facing and going through, but listen, that will bring you comfort in the midst of the greatest storms. Now, Paul's letting us know that when we genuinely trust in Christ, we are in union with him. We never need to fear the wrath of God that'll be poured out on the punishment. Why? Christ has taken our sins forever and cast them in the depths of the sea, is what the Scripture says. We'll never stand condemned because of that union. What a comfort in the midst of our sins and struggles and fleshly efforts and shortcoming and despair and discouragement and defeats that God loves us and sees us in His Son. When He looks at a believer, when He looks at me, He sees Christ. He'll never, you know what? He can never condemn. He'll never condemn His Son. He's already poured the wrath upon him one time, never to pour it again. And so when we stand in before God in union with Christ, we are released from judgment. Praise God. Our standing before God is perfect, although our state or experience is imperfect. who, and then it goes on to say, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is an identifying quality that belongs to those who are in Jesus Christ. They walk according to the Spirit. What we are positionally, we will practice and manifest daily. I want you to know that salvation, the first, we're going to see that salvation, the first great comfort that we did is no condemnation. If you'll get a hold of that this morning, it'll help you live. And then, which we go to the next, our next point is recognition of the Spirit's liberation. Look at verse 2. Recognition of the Spirit's liberation. So, for the law, it says in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So, Paul is saying, not only is there no condemnation, but there's also this liberation that has taken place. The law of the Spirit of life is an inward principle of action and takes over to produce the life of Christ in a Christian. That struggle that we have, we allow Christ that dwells within us now. When we come to know Him in personal security of the believer, we have this indwelling Spirit that allows us to work out what He's called us to live positionally. A little word called sanctification and holiness. And we'll see that. And Paul's saying this law of spiritual life, this inward principle, produces this life that he needed, that struggle that he was having. It is through the life of the Spirit in a believer that we are freed from the power of the sin nature. It produces the life of Christ in us. You know that. That's why we can't take credit for anything. Now, we love to do that, don't we? We say, oh, no, don't say anything. Oh, don't say anything. Oh, no, no. We like to take credit for things. We do. There's nothing. And to do unto the Lord, you know what? I appreciate everybody that serves, but really, ultimately, we owe that to God, do we not? In Christ. Anything that we do of any significance, how in the world could we ever take credit for it? I stand up here amazed every Sunday. I can't tell you how many times that I'm sitting here in my mind preaching the Word, and I'm thanking God. Say, God, thank you. That didn't come from me. I could never preach God's Word of any significance without the Holy Spirit of God. It's a calling that He's given to me. But listen, He's called each and every one of you to something. Each and every one of you, and it's important. And as the body of Christ, we need each other. And we all need to fit together. And you find that liberation, that freedom, that abundant life in Him when we live out what He's given us. We can only sing His praises, can't we? We only say, thank you, Jesus. I know that we're, some of us might not be, but some people are thankful for their election and the results and prayers that were lifted up. But here's the deal. We don't put our trust in a man, in a party, in a Congress, in a House of Representatives. We put our trust in Jesus Christ. The gospel is the only thing that's going to change America back and make it great again. Listen, it's the gospel. It's the only thing that can change a heart. It's the only thing that can take a redneck like myself and make him a preacher. How in the world can I brag about it? I couldn't do anything. I do redneck things, okay? That's what I was. That's what I am now. I'm just a redneck preacher, okay? How can I take credit for that? How can we ever bring any glory to ourselves? How can a Christian ever be proud of anything? In fact, it's in humility that we serve him and we see this liberation that Paul is talking about, that Spirit. Here it is. Here's the deal. To understand, he says that Spirit that lives within us, that Holy Spirit, it supersedes the law. That law, the Spirit, the freedom of Spirit supersedes the law of sin. We know that struggle was there. You say, how does that work? Some examples. We talked about Peter today in our Sunday school lesson. Donnie done a great job, and I know we have some good Sunday school classes, man. If you get plugged in if you can. Great Sunday school classes. But if you remember Peter, we know that Peter was close. He was one of the three, the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. If you remember that night when they were out on the sea and they were really, it was in the tempest and old Jesus comes walking to them, what did Peter say? If you're Jesus, let me come on out there to you, remember? You remember that story? I'm putting it in my terms, but that's what he said. If you be Lord, if you're our Lord, let me come to you. What did Jesus say? Come on out. How was it that Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water? That is a natural law that just doesn't happen. The Spirit and the law of his faith kept him walking on that water. You remember what happened when he looked around and saw the wind? He said, what am I doing here? I can't walk on water. He starts singing. Let me give you another example. If you go out here, we get us a big ladder because we ain't got nothing to climb. We get up here on this roof, and you jump off of it, what's going to happen? It ain't pretty, is it? It's called the law, the natural law of what? Gravity. It's called gravity. It works all the time. I see it working all over my body right now, right? As I get older, I'm getting shorter. What's up with that? You're getting compressed by gravity. Listen, the law of gravity. Okay, let me ask you this. How is it that you can step in one? You ever flew on one of those big 747s? Those big jets you get on that thing? And you guess what? It takes off, and when it's going down that runway, and all of a sudden you're up in the air. You ever done that? You looked out and said, what in the world am I doing? God admit me to fly. He put wings on my back. That's what I said the very first time I flew. I'll never forget that. But what's happened? It's still gravity there, is it not? The natural law of gravity still, but the law of aerodynamics has taken over, and it superseded that law. No longer is gravity holding out, but as long as those engines are running, right, and everything's working properly, the law of aerodynamics takes over. Paul says there's a new law within me. There's new spirit, this freedom that overcomes the sin that's within me. I can no longer say, I just can't do it. Or like Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. We want to blame him. That's what we want to do. The devil made me do it. No, we have something that supersedes that law now. It's called the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us. You have everything you need to live out the life of Christ through the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us now. We depend on the Holy Spirit to produce the life of Christ so that it keeps our sin nature under control. We can understand it positionally, but we can also learn it in our experience practically. The more that we allow God to work on us, the more that we conform to the image of His Word. You see, He didn't leave us without a guideline. He gave us directions too. Praise God. He gave, you know what? From the cover to the back, it's truth. In a world that says that it's relative, there's no truth. I give you truth today. So how can you say that? Well, I've just experienced it myself, okay? And it ain't just about experience. It has nothing to do with it. I experience or believe it. It's because God said it. And that ends it. God said that He gave us His Word. So we have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us. We have God's very Word that He breathed out, penned through men, breathed out, inspired Word of God. We have it all. How can we say, I don't know what decision to make. I don't know exactly what God wants. Guess what? Read the manual. Read the love letter. Get in it and learn God's character is revealed. Man, it's like the psalmist could say, man, Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I don't want sin against Thee. It goes past just reading scriptures or going through a routine, but it actually touches our lives when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to guide us and walk us through. And so He's letting us know, hey, there's recognition in the liberation of the Spirit, the Spirit's liberation. But also, the next principle is remembering the price. Look at verse 3. This is an important one. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. So not only we got to remember the price that was paid, Paul is declaring that God has taken the initiative to do what the law could not do. Why could it not do it? It was weak through the flesh. We could not fulfill the law's requirements. We cannot live by the standard of this Word without the Holy Spirit. You cannot. And He's telling them, He said, what we couldn't do, we could never be justified or we couldn't be sanctified because we were weakened by this human nature. So listen, it robbed us of our potency. It could not. Our flesh could never attain to the righteousness of God. But the law's impotence is not in itself, but in us, in our flesh, our fallen nature. What the sin-weakened law could not do, God did. See, let's just be honest. We're geared, do, 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 do. We got to do this, do that, do this, do that. You cannot do to make yourself right with God. There's only one word, and it's beautiful. Did, done. Christ did it for us. God's way of salvation is not law but grace through Jesus Christ. His way of sanctification is not law but the Spirit who indwells us. What did God do? Look at these verses. One, sinning in His own Son. Chris, put that up. Number one, sinning His own Son. Sacrificial love. What we couldn't do, God stepped up to the plate. Who did He send? He sent His very best. Sacrifice. Number two, in the likeness of sinful flesh. Listen, that's the incarnation. We're going to celebrate that next month. Guess what? That's what Christmas is about. Okay? Not all the decoration fun. Not Santa Claus. Not the presents. Not getting off of work. Whatever it is that you're looking forward to. It's about God came to earth in the form of a baby. Christ is birthday. Make much of Christmas. It's not Xmas. Merry holiday. How about Merry Christmas? It's Jesus' birthday. Don't ever be ashamed of that. It's what we're celebrating. And then not only that, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, but on the account of sin. Why did Jesus come? For atonement. You say, what are you talking about? There was a price that needed to be paid. Scripture says we couldn't do it. We've already saw it. We could not attain to God. We could not live through the law. We could not do it. Why? Because we had sinful human flesh. We were full of sin. What we could not do, you know what God said? I'm going to send one that can. He came for one reason. That babe in a manger next month will become the man on the cross. He came and He was born to die. A sacrifice for who? For you, my friend. For you. Sacrifice on account of sin. Number four, He condemned sin in the flesh. God judged our sin in the sinless humanity of His Son. Listen to that. That's that no condemnation we were talking about earlier. Why? Because Christ on the cross takes our sin, the wrath that's going to be poured out on the children of disobedience. That's what the Scripture says. That wrath of God, because He cannot tolerate sin. He don't smile and giggle at it. He cannot tolerate sin. He poured out on Christ. He took everybody's sin. Everybody, there's nobody in this room exempt. He took your sin. And God condemned that sin in the flesh on His Son. God judged Him that if you receive that payment for your sin, if you receive, just reach out and say, I believe that, I've heard that, and the Holy Spirit of God works on the heart of a lost person. And you say, you know what, that's what I need. And you receive that payment for your sin, you know what it says? You become a child of God. Paid in full, my friend. Paid in full on the cross. God did that. So we remember that price. Listen, and you've heard me say this, the gospel is not a one-time deal. It should be something that's rehearsed in our lives every day, that grace that was given. God, thank You. Thank You for shedding that blood for me on the cross. Lord, thank You that You died and but You resurrected on that third day. Lord, thank You that You make intercession for me because You're my King. Lord, help me to live out that principle today in my life because God, You know in my flesh that I am weak, I am full of sin, and I struggle greatly. But Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can serve. Power can overcome that sinful nature that dwells within me. Remembering the price, rehearse that great salvation every day. Why? Because it helps us to live out what we are positionally. Let's look lastly. Realizing our responsibility, verse 4. So we remember the price, but we realize our responsibility. And what does it say? That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is the ultimate reason God sent His Son, to condemn sin, our sin in Him, that the demands of the law might be satisfied. Not just for salvation, but for sanctification as well. For the holy living, that requirement. It's not just a get-out-of-hell-free card. It's a live-life-well card, too, okay? It's a live-life in Christ. It's an abundant life that John 10:10 says. We don't think that way. I'm hammering on progressive, this progressive sanctification, this idea. You know why we're not in that fulfillment in life. You know why the church is not what it should be? It's because we become satisfied in just getting our get out of hell free card. And yet there's so much more than that. God wants us to have this sanctified life, become more Christ-like. Why? That the fulfillment that we have, that we most of us are lacking if we're not walking in that, it's like you're missing something. You're missing it because you're not living out what He wanted us to be positionally, daily. It's growing in grace and knowledge of Christ. It's allowing Him, listen, we have an anchor that's whole, cannot be taken away from us. Why would we not want to live that out positionally to a world that needs to see that light desperately? We remember that, hey, He says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This fulfilling of the law is possible only in the Christian who is walking according to the Spirit. That word walk means a life that's depending on the Spirit. It's being lived out, walking in the Spirit, living out Christ in the Spirit. To walk by the flesh is to feed on the base desires of sinful nature and to yield continually to its temptations. We are to walk by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces that life of Christ in us. Holiness, the purpose of Christ's coming, salvation and sanctification. Guess what? The moral law has not been abolished for us, okay? It's not been a lot abolished, but it is to be fulfilled in us, living out what we know is morally good and right and what is Christ-like, what the Word of God says. Listen to me. How in the world in 2016 can you buy into the agenda that says we don't know where we stand on that? Now, if we're honest, and I took a poll, we don't know where we stand on that. Why? Because the world's agenda will tug and pull at you, and if you're not putting God's agenda in, you'll become very confused very quickly. And the Scripture says God's not the author of confusion. How can you say, I don't know where I stand on it, when God's given you His Spirit, if it's in you, if you've been saved, and He's giving you His directions right here? One, there's a problem missing. I know it's not God's Spirit, because if you're really saved, He says in there, maybe the problem is you aren't reading the directions. It's right here, black and white, that we know where we stand and where we make our stand. In love. I'm tired of belligerent Christians, okay? It's in love, right? Sometimes and that's the flesh. The flesh in me will get crass. It wants to fight back. That's the flesh in me, but you know what Christ says? Come unto me. Come unto me. And I'm just like anybody else. I have that struggle as well. But listen, we're never going to win the world by fighting. We'll win the world by the supernatural love of Christ that comes through us, that goes through the storms, faces whatever it comes out, and we come out the other side and say, blessed be the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Our freedom is not this idea that we can do anything or to disobey it, but it allows the Spirit of God, of Christ, to secure it. See, our problem, we didn't get this liberty so we can live in license and do anything we want. We got this liberty and this freedom that we can become in union with Christ, that we can live by His standards, and we can shine the message of the gospel through our lives every day. That's our purpose. Our responsibility is to allow the Spirit to manifest Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ has promised the abundant life to all who receive Him as personal Savior to be delivered from sin. Here's the deal. You want the best deal you ever had? We like deals, okay? Okay, we'll be honest. We like deals. We're looking for those good deals, those coupons, half price. You want the best deal this morning? Quit struggling. If you're a God's child, quit struggling with sin and just say, you know what, I can't, but He can. That's something to me every day. Say, you know what, Lord, I need help with this area, with this thing. I just need help. And I'm going to allow You, that Spirit of God, to work through me to overcome this and to bring You glory. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, if you're saying, you know what, this sounds good, but you need Jesus. Why would you want to stay lost in a world that's quickly going downhill and that we know that the end is death. We're going to die one day, physically. Unless the rapture happens, that could happen any time. But guess what? You twinkling of an eye, you're dying on the way up. It's over. You're changed. No, this flesh and blood's not going to enter heaven. But why would you put that off? Is there anything in this world that would be worth your soul? Anything that you would scratch your head and say, here's the deal. I'm having so much fun. I don't want to. And this is what we'd say. We'd never not word it or bring it to our mouth. I'm having so much fun. I'm not willing to give up my fun for the life that Christ has come. I want you to know something. Living for Christ is the funnest thing you'll ever do. Come on! Why in the world would you buy into a lie that says everything's great and fun and I'm just going to have my fun, or I'm going to sow my wild oats and then when I get old or some old crepit old man, now praise God. Every person that's come to that point in their life, you know what they say? I wish I could go back and choose him earlier. That's my one regret. I realize that my life at God, I was 28 before I knew Christ. Got plenty of garbage under the bridge in 28 years. That, you know what? That you can't hit delete button in here either. Don't you wish that sometimes you could just delete all the garbage that you put in there before Christ that Satan wants to remind you of constantly? But you know what I do? When he starts reminding me of my past, I remind him of his future. Oh, he can't stand it. The devil will be cast in a place called hell, lake of fire forever and ever and ever. That was never designed for you guys, anybody that don't have Christ to go to. But it was designed for the devil and his angels. But everybody that rejects Christ as their Savior, all that fun that you think you're having, will end up in that place called hell when they reject Jesus Christ. That's sad. Is there anything in this world that would be worth that? Giving up an eternity separated from God in torment forever and ever and ever. There's nothing. And there's nobody that I want to see go there. Because Jesus Christ stands with his arms open wide this morning. He says, come unto me, all ye are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, my yoke's light. My yoke is not heavy, my burden's light. Why would anybody reject that call? Well, applications and we'll be done. Do you understand your eternal security? You understand that this morning, because it will cause something to well up in you to understand that there's something that you can never lose if you're a child of God. Something that can never be taken away from you. There's a foundation that will never shift. Understand your eternal security. And then number two, liberty in Christ is not a license to sin. If you're a child and you say you're a child of God and you just live any old way you want to, you don't conform to this, that's not what he ever meant it to be, and I would question if you're a child of God, to be honest with you, you can live that way and not be convicted over it. It's not a license to sin. It's a liberty to serve Christ well through the power of the Spirit. Lastly, what is your responsibility? What is your responsibility? It's time for us to take on our responsibility, not just to ride a pew. Not just to come and say we did do a checklist, but to live every day, every moment, every hour in the power of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What can God do with that? He can change the world, can't he, Lee? He can change the world. You want to make America great again? You start living great in Christ. Start living for Jesus everywhere you go. Where, you mean, on my job, preacher? Yep. But I'm around. Who cares? Don't put no butts in there. You're there, and God's brought you there for a purpose. To be that light. But what about? No but what's? But God. But God. What has he said to you this morning? Let's stand on our feet. Lana, come and play. Truth of the matter, I'm not going to beg, plead. I'm not going to stand up here and do that. Holy Spirit of God is the only one that can save a person this morning. If he's told you and convicted you and showed you in your heart's beating right now. You go ahead and walk out the door if you want to. But there's no guarantee you ever make it back. So here's the deal. Don't hang on to the things of the world and miss out on the greatest thing, and that's Christ. What about you, Christian? You're struggling. struggles that you know there's maybe that even some stronghold sins in your life. You say, you know what? I'm struggling with this area or that area. Come, give it to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, no longer. I realize there's a law that's in me that can supersede anything that I struggle with. No longer will I give in to its temptations. Lord, I'm giving it to you. What about you? Do you know you're secure in Christ, that you've wavered on that and say, wait a minute, I just don't know. Can I? You can know this morning. Whatever God's saying to you this morning, as Linda plays and Brittany sings, don't hesitate. When she starts singing, come forward. However the Lord's spoken. He paid it all for you this morning. Nobody else. You. Are you? Do you have Christ as your Savior? Don't leave here lost. How many people would just come and pray? Say, Lord, help me to be that which you've called me to be. Help me to be a part of changing this nation back to you. How many would come and get on their knees before a holy God and say, Lord, help me to be that person? Thank you for coming. Pray. Go ahead, Brittany. Sing one more. Thank you for praying. If you're lost, don't leave here that way. Please come see me and let me know if you prayed to receive Christ this morning. Let me know that, please. Listen, I love you. Tonight, 6 o'clock, come out, food and fellowship. Remember, those with kids need to practice for our Christmas cantata. It'll be here before you know it. I love you. Any way that I can help you, listen, if Christ can save me, he can save anybody. Don't struggle with sin in your life or question about salvation or any struggle that you might have. I promise you there ain't much that you've been through that I haven't been through myself. And God did that for a purpose, is that I could help people right where they're at. I love each and every one of you, and I'll pray for you. But listen, when we step outside these doors, let's not let the power of Satan control us any longer, but say, hey, in God I have something I can overcome every temptation, every situation for God's glory. Lead in us in prayer.